Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Inside the 7 p.m. hour. Wow, can't talk. Inside the 7 p.m. hour on the Fan, I am recovering from an injury I got to share with everyone. If you follow me on Twitter, Instagram, I don't even know how I pulled it together. I just messed up coming back from the break because I'm checking on my eye. The dumbest thing happened to me in here. I bring my dinner in to warm up, and I open up the the break room microwave, which is like right at my height. I drop something, so I reach down to get it, and when I swing back up, I'm too close to the microwave door, which is swung all the way open, and bang, the corner of the sharp microwave door punctures the skin under my eye. I feel like I got punched in the face. And I go to the bathroom, I got a little cut. I'm like, ah, this is at like, I don't know, 6:15 as I'm getting ready to come in here and open up the show. So then I'm in the other break room where we have like a first aid kit. I'm getting first aid cream, alcohol wipes. I'm putting ice on it. I ran into Tiki. I'm like, he's like, what's up, man? I'm like, I just got a black eye from the microwave. I got a shiner. I got to put ice on that. He's like, yeah, good luck with that. I'm like, yo, either this is good luck or bad luck. I wish Pete Alonso good luck because, you know, this is his career. This is his life. His life has been here in New York. I know there was so much speculation about him getting traded. I know there, you know, there's just so much talk around the guy. And he's been pretty much a model guy. He hasn't performed the greatest. I hate to hear how people just project his body to not play well and him to age poorly. And not, we don't know that. But I think here, you know, with Pete Alonso, the longer this goes, the more sour the relationship gets, the more negative feelings come in on his end. I don't think he's just going to sit there forever and you know, feel like, all right, I have to return to the Mets. I think he wants to be a Met. I think he wants to be a part of this. But again, like I said, when we get closer to spring training and teams reporting and players going through physicals, like somebody might come up with something or not be ready to play. And then that is when teams start to make moves and check with agents. And Pete Alonso and Scott Boras, who we've seen do this, both may be inclined to wait. Now, I think Pete is obviously the client tapping the agent on the shoulder saying, hey, like, let's get this done. But Scott Boras is probably telling him, hey, no, if we wait this out, they have to give a little bit. Who's playing first base for the Mets? 888-808-1019. If we wait this out, they got to give a little bit more. And if we wait this out, somebody else could become needy and they will extend more than they want to. Obviously, you know, the teams that were looking for first baseman have figured it out, right? Christian Walker to the Astros, Paul Goldschmidt to the Yankees, Josh Naylor goes out to Arizona where Christian Walker departs, Carlos Santana goes to the Guardians, you know, back there. So, like, you know, the teams that were looking for first baseman seem to be covered, but there's going to be a team. I don't know. Maybe you know the team that it'll be. Robbie's in Brooklyn. Robbie, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you? Minus the whole eye thing. I'm all right.
I hope you're feeling better.
I could take a punch. So, it felt like if you've ever been punched in the eye, like the little orbital bone, just a little
whack. Oh, plenty of times. Ow. Not a punch. So, Pete Alonso, the guy is better off going to another team, and I'll tell you why, Keith. The Mets right now, they're not the same Mets that he played with. When Cohen has put together is a three-ring circus. He's got people dancing on top of the dugout. Mm-hmm. He's built casinos. You know, it's all a sideshow. So what Pete Alonso needs to do is play for a team. I would take him on the Yankees in a heartbeat because the Mets are not going to win. Not with Juan Soto, not with Lindor, not with singing
Robbie,
songs about, oh my
God. You sound
God,
like a typical Yankee
you're not
fan.
Gonna win.
These Mets fans are going to call and take it out on me. I didn't say it. You said it.
And if he stays on that team, what's going to happen is they're going to lose anyway, and they're going to start putting the blame on Pete Alonso. And the Mets fans, it's sort of like you have the fair-weather friend Mets fans. You know what I mean? They say they're Mets fans, but then for years they don't go to games. They sit at home and complain at the TV. They don't go to Citi Field.
Thanks for the call, Robbie. Yeah, we know. Brandon Nimmo was calling on him late. Hey, come out. We need you. And Mets fans are like, I don't know, man. I'd rather just stay at home. It's a tough drive. Parking's like $40. Are they giving away a hockey jersey, a bucket hat, anything like that? Mike is in Dix Hills. You're up next, Mike. You got it.
Hey, longtime Mets fan. That last caller, he's a Yankee fan. That's all.
Clearly.
That's all you got to say. And, well, I think that, you know, there's something to be said about the Mets making it as far as they did with a little bit of magic and luck and having that special season. And outside of Juan Soto, which is a huge add, there's other pieces that they've got to put into place. And what they've done other than Soto has been kind of the typical Band-Aid stuff that they do. So, you know, you take away Pete Alonso's steady production, his, you know, playing 162 games, very adequate first base, and undoubtedly the top three or four power numbers in the league, you know, biggest power hit. He's always
sure.
a threat.
Just the threat of him, just pitchers having to respect him. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to miss that. I want him back. Now, 3 years, $30 million a year, that's, to me, that's a nice contract that he can still bet on himself. I don't know if they're willing to give him mutual options or something, or, you know, to give him that extra fourth year where if he produces the next 3 years and then the winning, you know, it's not going to matter. You know, you'll give him what he wants. But, you know, he can bet on himself again and take the three-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice, it's not the 158, but the average value is higher. And let's see where the Mets are in 3 years.
Thanks for the call, Mike. You know, it's crazy. We're talking about Pete Alonso getting a Judge-like contract. Not me, but people actually thought that he was going to be a $300 million player. I'm like, where, how, and what league? No. Then we thought he might be a $200 million guy. Nope. And see, this is the thing, right? He turned down the $158 from Billy Epler, whatever. He just turned 30. He just had a prove-it year where it was a down year, a lot of pressure on him. He did not perform. So does he want to do that again in 3 years at 33? No. This is the year to get that security, to get that big payday, to not have to worry about things when he's 33 and try and get one more contract, right? And now we're starting to see the future a little bit. I think I heard Evan say this about, you know, coming to terms with the fact that Pete Alonso will not be a career-long Met. He will not wear only that Mets jersey. Because if they're not going to give him the contract that locks him up through age 36 or 37 now, we're pretty sure that's not going to happen. He's not going to retire. You know, that bat is going to play. There's a universal DH now. He's going to DH for somebody. And if I'm Pete, do I want to change that jersey now? Do I want to see it through with this team for three more years, knowing that the end is near, or you know, or do I want to just get a change of scenery, go somewhere now, and just say, hey, it is what it is. Happy for you guys. Rich owner. You got Juan Soto. You got Queen's best dance crew. You got the LED lights. You got the statue outside. You got all these giveaways. You got a seat for Grimace up there. Like, this is a new era, and I'm not a part of it, and that's okay. I'll see you around. James is in Nanuet. What's up, James?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thank you for taking the call. Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on the Pete Alonso situation and, like, the Vladdy scenario. I think it's kind of a risk to kind of put your eggs in all of the Vladdy basket. You know, Kyle Tucker is going to be a free agent next year too. So I think the smart move for the Mets would be to bring back Pete. And I know that leaves them out of the Vladdy sweepstakes next offseason, but there's still a chance that they can get Kyle Tucker. So what do you think about that, bringing back Pete and then just going for Kyle Tucker? Because that lineup, that would be something.
They're going to sign Juan Soto this year and then turn around and sign Kyle Tucker next year? What's the outfield going to look like? Where's Nimmo? Nimmo's going to go back to center?
That's the part that would be tricky. I think Nimmo could be a DH down the road with the plantar fasciitis issue. I don't know. I like the idea of Nimmo DHing, but either way, I think bringing back Pete, you know, you want to win for 2025. Lindor's on the north side of 30, just coming off his best season of his career.
Yeah, he's got to do it again.
Kind of weird. Yeah, and like I feel like he's going to have an even better year, like hitting in front of Soto. And then Alonso, too, I have a feeling
he's going to have a bounce-back year if he's with the Mets. I've said that a bunch. James, I was with you. Thanks for the call. I was with you when you were talking about it's risky to think down the road for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Two reasons. One, the Toronto Blue Jays have been in on Aaron Judge, Ohtani, Juan Soto. With that Rogers Center money, They put out some $700 million bid this year for Juan Soto. That shows you they have the money. Why wouldn't they just want to keep their own player? Maybe that, you know, maybe they're not there yet, but maybe they will be when he hits free agency. Or maybe they do get there so that he doesn't hit free agency. And then also, when he hits free agency, he's open to all the teams. Like, what did Juan Soto say? I'm available to all 30 teams. No, you're not. But, you know, in theory, when you become a free agent, you can sign with anyone. It's no guarantee that he signs with the Mets. They have the richest owner in the sport. Sure, he could have the highest bid. He can buy anyone. But maybe Vladdy wants to go elsewhere. Maybe there's another team he wants. So it is kind of risky to say, we're not going to lock up our guy. We're not going to do right by our guy, pay our guy, because we've got eyes on another guy in a year. 888-808-1019. You know, another thing, two callers ago, I think it was Mike, talking about last year's team. That team was special. That team surprised everyone that watches baseball. That team got super hot and went on a historic run that anyone that watches baseball will not forget. The Make It Happen Mets. These guys played way above their heads. They had to, and they got all the way to the Final Four, the NLCS, and they got two games off the Dodgers. Baseball is the shortest offseason. It ain't that many days before they're right back there in spring training, gearing up for another season. If it's me, I'm trying to run it back with that same clubhouse for the most part. I'm not trying to break up that group. I'm trying to bring back some of the, I'm trying to bring the same vibes back. I'm bringing back Jose Iglesias. I'm bringing back Jesse Winker, right? You already lost Severino. You've already lost a handful of other guys. Like, I'm trying to run it back with the guys that I went on that magical run with that, like, all pulled the same rope and bought in together. Pete Alonso was one of those guys. 888-808-1019. Brian is in Keyport. Brian, you're on the Fan.
How you doing, Keith? I just think it's disrespectful at this point what they're doing to Alonso. And if you look at it from a franchise perspective, the Mets' career home run leader is like 220. Just from a prestige standpoint, you want a guy who's going to be a 500 home run hitter in the long run. And if you look at some of the other contracts that have been signed this offseason, like Adames, Pete Alonso is going to give you more production in the lineup than Adames would or Brandon Nimmo from a couple years. I just don't understand why there's no market.
Yeah, I don't understand either, especially with like the Mets. And I got to say this the right way because I'm preparing, or not preparing, I'm repairing my image with the Mets fans. Thanks for the call, Brian. I got to say this the right way so I don't get any Reddit threads written about me or my wife doesn't screenshot me that somebody's on Facebook saying Keith sucks. With the Mets in New York competing with the Yankees and constantly fighting to be Big Brother, to be the A-team, you know, all of the comparing that was done between Pete Alonso and Aaron Judge, their rookie year, the home run record, and who's a more prolific home run hitter. Judge is going to hit 500 home runs as a Yankee. Don't you want your guy that's going to hit 500 home runs? You're retiring as many jerseys as you can to try and get like the Yankees. Don't you want to have that other guy? And I don't know. Don't you want a core guy like an Aaron Judge that's homegrown, that's been here? You already lost DeGrom. Like, I don't know. I think that there is way more value in bending a little bit, giving a little bit, extending a little bit for Pete Alonso. And especially now, I would get it done now because I don't want this to sour. I want him to be happy. I want this to end. I want the conversations to end. There's been so many negative conversations the last year or so around Pete Alonso. I want that to stop. I want Pete to be happy. I want him to be excited about joining this team, rejoining this team, showing up to camp, and being ready to have a bounce back year, be an all-star again, protect Juan Soto, hit home runs, and you know, be the face of the franchise and act like this never happened. So, Raffy is in Brooklyn on the fan. What you got, Raffy?
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
All right, watching this Knicks game just started.
Awesome. So I think there's something else here besides the money that's preventing Pete Alonso from signing. So just a guess of mine. But so we heard that Pete Alonso was offered 3 years, and he went back to the Mets with another three-year deal. So it's interesting why he hasn't signed yet. And I think he might want to have something in his contract that says he does not DH. And I know Pete Alonso doesn't like DHing. I know he likes playing first base. And I wonder, since the Mets are eyeing Vlad Guerrero maybe for next year, I wonder if that's preventing and holding up the contract.
It's a good thought. I don't know. At the end of the day, it is all about money. And if it's, like I said, if it's not about the AAV, it's about the years. It's a good thought. Nobody can predict the future. Like I don't know. We're talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., right? Juan Soto broke the mold out here. We're talking about Vladdy like it's a done deal. One guy chose the Mets in Steve Cohen's money. One guy. The other top free agents did not. So now that Juan Soto did it, he sets the trend where every top free agent, whether it's Kyle Tucker or Vladimir Guerrero Jr., it's a lock. They're going to be Mets. They just want to come to Queens and put on blue and orange and dance with Mr. and Mrs. Met is just a lock. Let's go to Mohegan and talk to Ed next. What's up, Ed? You got it.
What do you say, Keith? You know, I want to talk about Alonso. First of all, I think Pete is a great baseball name. You know, Pete Rose, Pete Incaviglia, Pete Vukovic.
Alonso. Pete Alonso is a great baseball name, Met name. We've heard it forever.
Yeah, Pete's a great name, man. Even though Vukovic was a pitcher, he was Haywood in Major League, so it counts. You saw Major League, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, it's been a while, but of course I watched all those type of movies.
Yeah, no, but it's cool they got a pitcher to play the big hitter on the Yankees. He's kind of like a composite of, you know, Munson and Mattingly a little bit. But I wanted to talk about Pete Alonso. Now, if the Mets aren't going to sign him, I would love to see the Yankees get him, and I'll tell you why. I would love to get Vlad. Vlad Jr. But, you know, the Blue Jays are going nowhere this year. They're not going to, you know, with the Yankees, Baltimore, Boston's going to be better. They're going to wind up trying to move him and get something for him. And if the Yankees wind up having to trade for him, they're going to be in the same situation they were with Soto. And they're going to have to give something up. They're probably going to have to give up Heel or something, or maybe even the Martian. Who knows? I don't want to give anybody up. I like their young players. I would rather see the Yankees try and jump on Alonso, because what people are forgetting is that we know Pete Alonso can play in New York. We don't know if Vlad can play. He didn't even want to play for the Yankees once upon a time. And I love Vlad. And quite frankly, even as a Yankee fan, I would love to see Pete Alonso stay with the Mets. It was like when the Yankees almost lost Bernie to the Red Sox in 99, and then at the nth hour, they signed him. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm not a hater. You know, I'd love to see, like, he's like their David Wright. But I don't think they're going to do it. And I would love to see him in the Bronx. He would, even if he just puts up Jorge Posada numbers, 25, 30 home runs, I'll take it. Because right now, if Judge gets hurt, they're not in trouble. But they'll be in a lot. I'd feel much more comfortable knowing Pete Alonso was on that squad.
Ed, you know they signed Paul Goldschmidt and traded for Cody Bellinger, right?
Of course. So that, yeah, you know, they're great players.
It's no option for Pete Alonso. Thanks for the call. They had a chance to, entertain Pete Alonso. They never did. They weren't interested. There were Yankee fans that were so, you know, hurt from Juan Soto switching sides. They were saying, go get Pete. And I'm like, no, they don't want Pete Alonso here. And yeah, Major League. Shout out to Wild Thing and Willie Mays Hayes. When we come back, I got to talk about the last time I saw Charlie Hayes, former Yankees third baseman, his son Key Brian Hayes, and how today this name popped up. And there was an article that came out in Newsweek about a week ago as Key Brian Hayes potentially being an option for the Yankees to trade for. It's more realistic that you see Key Brian Hayes on the Yankees than Pete Alonso. But we'll continue with the Pete Alonso calls. If you're on hold, I see you. Stay on hold. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Yeah, we'll get to the Jets and their coaching search. Leave no stone unturned. I mean, if you interview everybody, you can't mess this thing up, right? I think the opposite. I've said multiple times, you want to make the wrong decision, ask everybody. I forget who told me that. That's a life lesson for you. If you're trying to decide on something in life, get everybody's opinion on it. And you'll make a mistake. You'll make the wrong decision. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 7:30. The Knicks are up 20-11 in Philly. Philly's not even playing anybody. This should be a good win. Obviously, Brunson and Josh Hart back in their old stomping grounds. And I mean, the Knicks need wins and need to right the ship and have the right vibes as we approach the trade deadline and the All-Star break. 888-808-1019. Talking about Pete Alonso, the long and short of it is, I think this has to end. I think that the Mets have to be the bigger people here and do right by their guy. I think that they need to add another year. I think that they need to extend a little bit. Because at the end of the day, you have the richest owner in the sport. He's lit so much money on fire. You think the end of that Juan Soto deal is going to age well? It's not. Everybody knows that. You can't extend for Pete Alonso? That's crazy. Right? All Juan Soto did was talk about the family vibe, the family culture, the family environment. Made me feel like family. Made my family be a part of the family. Yeah, there's a family here. That's what they sold y'all on. As all those random reports came out about the Yankees, you know, not welcoming Juan Soto's family, which was nonsense. And to, you know, not make it look like just absolute going to the highest bidder, greed, give me the most money. I would have gone to the highest bidder. I don't care if it was the Montreal Expos. They had to mask it by using the word family. And if I'm Pete Alonso, my ass is chapped. If I'm Pete Alonso, I'm feeling some type of way. This guy's not our family. He's family now since you signed him for the rest of his career. But what about me? I'm here. Look what I've done for this family. As family, my family can't do me a solid and make sure that I'm good. Give me a 4-year deal. Okay, yeah, I turned down the 7-year deal. Boris told me to do that. And, you know, like, come on. Don't hold that against me. So we'll get back to Pete Alonso, and then I'll take a couple calls and I'll sprinkle in the Key Brian Hayes story as a report came out earlier today. Pirates Gold Glove star demands immediate trade from Pittsburgh management. Phil is in Sheepshead Bay. Phil, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hi. I called for this reason. You know, whenever it's a year prior to free agency, almost all these ball players press. And I think he was under a lot of pressure during the year. They shouldn't hold that up against him. Prior to that, he was like the face of the ball club. Mm-hmm. I used to come out to the games a few times a year, looking forward to seeing him hit. So last year, I look at it this way. You put it put a line through the year, and they got to give him 4 years, even if you have to give him with an option out after two. I mean, he's a family member.
Yeah.
Juan Soto was just signed, and okay, that was only for money. But this guy plays his backside off for the club. I'm going to hang up, hear what you have to say about that.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Yeah, he plays his backside off for the club and represents the club everywhere he goes in the right way. Never a bad word about his teammates or the multiple managers he's had or the different owners he's had or the different GMs he's had. He's just always done things the right way. His charity stuff, off-the-field stuff, and now he's getting the short end of the stick because David Stearns is coming here. from Milwaukee and has his principles and his theories and his fundamentals of how he goes about business, and that all falls on Pete. It's kind of crazy, right? Juan Soto is a deal that Steve Cohen makes, not David Stearns. Same thing goes for Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman. I told y'all when I was on right after, I'm like, Brian Cashman slept good that night because Brian Cashman knew that he did not want to put a 16-year contract out there for anyone. Brian Cashman knew the last big contract that he had to do like that, Judge's contract, Max Fried's contract, but, you know, I don't mind that. They had to win the player, so they went to 8 years. At first, I was like, no. But then I understand. You're bidding against your division. You want to face this guy pitching for Toronto or pitching for the Boston Red Sox? No. So you got to go 8 years to win the deal. And especially you do that when you lose Juan Soto. 888-808-1019. You know, the Yankees have had a pretty decent offseason. And I think it has quieted some Yankee fans. It's interesting now that all the conversation now is, you know, Mets fans, some saying Pete should go, some saying Pete should stay, some questioning the owner and the GM, some not, some, you know, acting like there's other options and Pete's not a big deal when he is. But for the Yankees and Yankees fans, we got a haul of new players and we got rid of players that were problems, pain points. And now there's just one more spot that we're looking at. There's one more spot, Brian Cashman. There's one more spot, Hal Steinbrenner, that Yankee fans are saying, don't go with the options that we have in-house. If you actually think that we can get back to the World Series and face whoever comes out of the National League, most people assuming it's the Dodgers, how do we leave no stone unturned? How do we plug every hole? It can't be, oh, DJ LeMahieu, Oswaldo Cabrera, and Oswald Peraza are going to compete in camp. I've joked about bringing in a Jorge Polanco type. Doesn't excite me. We've all kind of moved on from Luis Arraez. We've all kind of moved on from Nolan Arenado. And I know some of us were never there. I was never there on Alex Bregman, but I'm pretty sure we've moved on too. And it's funny to mention Alex Bregman because he's another Boris Camp guy waiting to be signed that's not going to get 7 years, probably not going to get 6 years, going to have to go to a team for a short-term deal. Mets could use a third baseman. But yeah, speaking of third base, Key Brian Hayes, son of Charlie Hayes. You guys remember World Series, Charlie Hayes making the last out. Charlie Hayes is around. We're talking about family. We're talking about family. That's the key word tonight, right? Because the Mets aren't treating Pete Alonso like family after Soto said family 18 times in his press conference. Well, Charlie Hayes is a part of the Yankee family forever. I've seen Charlie Hayes at Yankee Stadium a bunch of times. If you look at my Twitter, I posted a picture of us on Juan Soto Jersey Day in Legends. And when I sat down next to Charlie, what was Charlie doing? He was watching his son, Key Brian, play out in Pittsburgh on his phone. And I don't exactly remember what he was saying, but he was very critical about the Pittsburgh Pirates and some other things. I'll leave our conversation, and I don't really even remember it. It was, you know, off the record. But I say that to say this. We're talking about family. We've got Clay Bellinger's son here with the Yankees, Cody Bellinger. Those family ties have now been realized. How great would it be to see the Yankees trade for Key Brian Hayes? 888-808-1019. I know a lot of you tweeted at me today to say, his bat isn't that good. I don't care about what guys' bats are in Pittsburgh compared to on the Yankees. And we don't necessarily need his bat to be like that. We have bats. We have the best hitter in the league. Like, I think it's something interesting that they should explore. Especially because a week ago, there was an article out there talking about how IKF is in Pittsburgh and how, you know, this was somebody was on it early from Newsweek. Let me pull it up. January 6th in Newsweek, New York Yankees could trade for $49 million gold glove third baseman. And, you know, they were suggesting Key Brian Hayes on January 6th said he had a strong start to his career, yada, yada, yada. Came out hitting extremely well. However, he just hit .233. Good. If he just had a down year, .233, four home runs, 25 ribbies, shouldn't be too high of a price tag for him. And I bet you he would be super motivated. I bet you he'd be ready to compete here with the Yankees. I'm interested in it. But the article goes on to suggest that the Yankees trade Jason Dominguez, Oswald Peraza, and Zach Messinger. I'm not with the idea of trading Dominguez because I think he has to play. I think he has to play a starting role, a big part of this Yankee team, the Martian. It's finally time. He's 21. I understand them potentially trading Waldo, right, because he's a utility guy, so you kind of take an infielder away from them and send one. And then if they, you know, they're the Pirates, they might want a pitching prospect, and Zach Messinger is the number 18 pitching prospect. But, yeah, I don't know how much legs it has, but the other article is on AllBat, ALBat.com, and this one was actually posted today, and it says that he's demanding a trade. And I remember, it's funny, I tweeted about Key Bryan a couple years ago, and I searched that tweet, and I found it, because, like, I don't know what they sell them in Pittsburgh. Even like Brian Reynolds, remember Yankee fans were trying to get Brian Reynolds over here? I tweeted, I'm like, Charlie Hayes' kid really meant it when he said he wanted to stay in Pittsburgh. He just took an Aaron Hicks-type deal at age 25. He's young, and that deal is affordable. But, yeah, the article goes on to say that he wants out. The article goes on to say, with some of the competition coming in there, he may want to leave, and I think the Yankees need to be on the phone with the Pirates. You know there's some crossover there. And then, obviously, again, the family ties. So, Yankee fans, now you have your lane to call in on Yankees third base, Key Bryan Hayes, or whoever else you suggest. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Westchester on the Fan in New York.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, you took some of the points that I was going to make, so I'm going to go from a different angle. Looking at the Mets history, Isringhausen, Wheeler, Turner, Murphy, the list is endless. We lose guys at the wrong time. And if you look at what I see with Pete Alonso, he knows how to play in New York. He's the second behind Judge in home runs since 2019. And if you look at the math, he's truly on pace to hit 300 home runs quicker than Judge did. But yet, we're going to throw him out, you know, with the bathwater. It makes no sense to me. We'll finally have all the pieces put together. And you said it earlier, the OMG, everything that team and that gel we had last year that came together is finally here, and now we're going to lose one of the key components. Makes zero sense to me. Last point, you look at his home runs versus Judge's home runs in the playoffs, you tell me, whose bat do you want in the playoffs? Aaron Judge or Pete Alonso? Me, I take Pete Alonso any day.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Steve. I said it. His postseason performance doesn't get him any type of grace. Doesn't, like, if anywhere, it would have value with the Mets, the team that he did it for. All we do is talk about playoffs, postseason performance. I just said that in my open. I'm like, Sam Darnold, now they're ready to throw him away with the bathwater. No, Sam Darnold made himself some money this year. He failed with Kevin O'Connell, Brian Flores, that shaky offensive line, going up against Sean McVay and the Rams, who have been there, done that. Judge is another one. All we talk about, oh, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about Judge's regular season home runs because he doesn't do it in the playoffs. This guy, like Pete Alonso, showing up in the wild card round when you needed him most, that doesn't get him anything. No, not in David Stern's world. No, that doesn't matter. Your regular season numbers, when we hit the computer, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, the analytics say you are what you are. That might have just been luck. That's the clutch gene. Analytics don't count for that fire. They don't account for that clutch gene activating and a guy just being hot at the right time, knowing it's do or die, fight or flight. 888-808-1019. Now we've got Yankee calls. I do see some football calls. Yeah, we'll take this Giants call when we come back because I do want to start to mix in some of the Giants and Jets conversation. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call my show. I'll be right back. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. About to be 8 o'clock. The Knicks are down in Philly hooping. They're up 11, 41, 30. We're going to start to bring in a little football conversation to go with the baseball conversation. I just couldn't open up football. I love football. I love the game. Growing up, it was my favorite sport. But I think as I got older, I just started to learn more and appreciate baseball more. And there's just so many layers to baseball conversations, the business of baseball. And, yeah, I had to go with Pete Alonso to open up. And where he's at, where the Mets are. Still taking your calls at 888-808-1019 on that. I introduced a little bit of conversation around Key Brian Hayes, son of former Yankee Charlie Hayes, and rumors that Key Brian wants out of Pittsburgh. And obviously the Yankees could use a third baseman. Brian Cashman likes to wheel and deal. He likes to trade, send Cashman considerations, and not have to go pay free agents as much. So maybe that's a possibility. Here's the football conversations that we're going to start having. Giants fans, here's your quarter pound of flesh. The Giants dismiss defensive backs coaches Jerome Henderson and Mike Trier. I mean, these are guys that it's like you can put the blame on them. I guess you can get them out of there. They didn't have much to work with. Heads got to roll somehow. Like, how do you not fire Shane Bowen? Whatever. Those guys get fired, and so you can expect some changes there. I just don't know, you know, to me, like I said, it's a quarter pound of flesh. They usually say pound of flesh. I don't know what that actually does. I don't know how much that impacts the team. You need the horses. You need the horses. It doesn't matter about the horse trainers if the horses can't run fast. And then I got to play some audio from Aaron Glenn. The word on the street around Aaron Glenn is that his preferred choice, as a lot of us are speculating, maybe he goes to New Orleans. His preferred destination is actually the Jets. And all that talk about you want somebody that wants the Jets, as Rex Ryan clearly is the most wanting and thirsty guy wants the Jets job. If this guy wants the Jets job, we're going to play some audio from him, and I'm going to talk about him just from what I know about Aaron Glenn. I think it's obvious that the Jets should go in that direction, but they'll probably interview 10 more other coaches. So, yeah, Jets and Giants fans, call me up as we are counting down, getting closer to the draft. I'm seeing mock drafts where they have Shedeur Sanders going to the Giants at 3. Either way, I think they're taking someone out of Colorado. Joe is in East Meadow. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Keith, love the Pete Alonso talk. I'm a depressed Giants season ticket holder. I watched the team in the seats lose that Colts game, which I was distraught at the time. I'm glad, looking back at how it was on that day, I'm glad that they wound up with the third pick. I still think that even if they are able to take Hunter, that might be the best choice for them. This team has so many holes. They're devoid of talent. You just said it. In the secondary, in the special teams game, on offense, I think a piece like Hunter, even if he is only a one-way player, might be a better choice. The problem is I'm sitting here looking at the free agent quarterbacks and Sam Darnold aside, and I don't know that I would spend that kind of money on Sam Darnold as a New York Giants. I think he's a nice piece, but not for a team in a total rebuild. Some of the other names, Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields is intriguing.
Justin Fields.
I'm calling, if they went the route of a plug at quarterback, who do you think the best option is? And is that even feasible for a
Justin
team like
Fields.
This?
He's young. He can run the ball.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. He does have a strong arm. And I think him and neighbors could figure out some timing and a good relationship where who else are you throwing the ball to? Man, even if they draft Travis Hunter, he doesn't have to play every snap on either side of the ball. He could be a nickel corner. He doesn't have I don't know. Honestly, I would line him up as the actual corner for the Giants. They clearly need a better secondary. I would put him as a corner on defense and have some plays set up for him on offense. He's so explosive with the ball in his hands. I just think that, like, if you have a weapon like that, this kid is the Energizer Bunny. He's in shape. He's conditioned for it. Like, why not try it? I think, you know, people are stretching with calling him an Ohtani of football. He's not that. But I do think there's something to him being Deion Sanders-like and being coached by Deion Sanders, and he's a star. He's got millions of followers. He just won the Heisman in New York. You draft him. The Giants need star players. They need leaders in that locker room. This next era, this next wave needs that alpha, like multiple alphas. Malik Nabers, as a rookie, is an alpha. He can say and do whatever he wants. He's got the glasses on. He's smacking the gum, right. Chewing the gum, like, because they have to respect how good of a player he is. He's actually him. They retired, unretired, a number for him. You bring in Travis Hunter, he's of a same vein. Like, this guy is a transcendent player, and if you draft him there at three, nobody's going to say it's a bad pick.
No, I appreciate the thoughts, and you know, just looking at it, you're absolutely right. I just want something to root for. Neighbors was nice. He had a great season with no QB. I think you're right. More star power in this team is something that we can't avoid. So appreciate the thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Joe. And I know they have to draft a quarterback. They need a quarterback. They need multiple quarterbacks. Go sign Justin Fields and keep your eye on Jackson Dart. I don't know where he's going to go in the draft, honestly. Quinn Ewers just put his name in. I wouldn't be so interested in Quinn Ewers. But, like, for some reason, Tankathon has Jalen Milroe and Quinn Ewers ahead of Jackson Dart. There's an obvious tie there with Eli Manning, Ole Miss. If I'm the Giants, I am trying to draft the best available player, which is Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, but really Travis Hunter. Abdul Carter, like, you guys, like, don't need another pass rusher. You just paid Brian Burns. Like, you need an explosive playmaker, a kid that can play corner and have a couple plays on offense that could be game-breaking plays. You want to run a flea flicker? Send him down one sideline or send him across the formation and have Malik Nabers running underneath. And then Joe Shane, get crafty. Man, trade maybe out of the second round at 34, trade back into the first round if someone like the Chiefs doesn't give a damn about their pick or something, and try and get Jackson Dart. I think Jackson Dart is the third best quarterback. I think he's better than Quinn Ewers. He played in the SEC. He's got a little bit of mobility to him. And like I said, I like the tie with Eli Manning and Ole Miss there. I would not take Jalen Milroe. He's an athlete, but he's so much more of a project. And they don't have time for projects. They need a guy that's a little more polished, throwing the ball, fundamentals, and all of that. All right, it's 8 o'clock. We got to take a break, go to the update. When we come back, I'm hitting the Pete Alonso conversation, the Key Brian Hayes conversation, the Giants coaching conversation, as well as draft picks. And then we'll play some audio as well from Aaron Glenn speaking and really start talking about where the Jets got to zero in on this coaching search and just go ahead and hire a GM already. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.